The sermon will reflect on our readings. To start, I begin with John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen." You may be seated. I've said it many times, and it isn't becoming less true. The world, and we're involved in that too, feels like it is not accountable to God. Like there is nobody watching or in control. And this is what Jesus Christ came to teach us, is you have a Heavenly Father. He is watching over you. He has work for you, and he loves you, and I, his son, die and rise for you. This is that eternal gospel that John saw, and that angel, when he said, another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who has made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Now this passage, especially verses 6 and 7, is a traditional reading at the Reformation, a service of Reformation Day, because it's thought, especially the early Lutheran Church, they revered Luther and his boldness and the truth of his teaching so much. They said, that angel with the eternal gospel, Luther is part of that. Luther is part of this reformation of the church coming again to God's word and thinking about it and seeing what it really teaches and how we should live. So it was applied to Luther, but in fact, if you see that coming, not only at Luther's time, but our time too. Our time too needs that angel, needs that proclamation. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth. Accountable to God, the true God. You look around, who is fearing God? Is fearing God trying to swindle a young father and mother out of their car? Is fearing God shooting up, what was it, 18 people in Maine? Is fearing God going on all over the world in these various wars? We attack, we are vengeful. We try to claim our rights. And God does, has created all people, and we all have our space and areas to live. And there's confusions about that throughout history. But this message that we need to fear God and know his word, this is no less today than it was at the time of Luther, when there was plenty of fighting. During Luther's own lifetime and his, one way or another, his writings contributed to it. There was the War of the Peasants, and 50,000, at least 50,000 peasants were killed. There was all kinds of strife and political turmoil in Luther's day. And Jesus' day, from to the beginning, right after sin, after the first sin, Adam and Eve, what happened? Two sons, and one kills the other. Fear God. He is creator. He is our Heavenly Father. And where this is forgotten or not known, or the whole teaching is twisted upside down, then Satan's lies come in. Who's in control? Nobody's in control. There is no God. There is no Heavenly Father. You can do anything you want. You're your own God, right? That's what Satan told Eve. You will be like God if you eat of that fruit. You can be your own God. You can control everything. You can control people, the world. You can control the future. And you can make up your own rules. You can make up your own religions. And when you follow your own made-up rules, then you're a good person. Accountability to God and His teaching. And our world faces huge problems. But we as Christians who have our Heavenly Father revealed to us in His Word by His Son, Jesus Christ, that is the place we must start to understand and perceive what is going on around us. We must know that we have a God who has created all things, to whom all are accountable, to whom all are guilty. We stand guilty before Him. It was very clear in that Romans passage, Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be accountable to God. The whole world, you and me, and the people in Ridgeville, and the people in Ohio, and the people in Ukraine, and Russia, and Israel, and Gaza, and who else is going to get involved? All of us are accountable to God. So we stand at a place in which we need to be reminded all the time, who is in control? Who is over us? Who do I go to? Who has the highest and last word? And that is our Lord God. And we are guilty. And without faith in Christ, my sins stand as damning as a terrorist's sins. All sin stands damning before God. And I can't do something, or somebody else can't do something, to make themselves a little bit better before God. We stand condemned before God. And God did not want it to be like this. He wanted His people to be with Him. He sent His Son. And through especially Holy Week, but we remember the whole year through, Holy Week, we think of the suffering and death of Christ. Why? For our sins. What did John the Baptizer say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And even the greatest sin might be repented. And so we stand looking at evils around us unbelievingly, hard to comprehend. And yet God sent His Son. And the reforming of the church, the reforming of the church is to have the church look at God's Word. There's all kinds of words going around us, all kinds of stories going around us. Some truth, some half-truth, some no truth, all kinds of words. But the Word of God, this is what we need, for we are all accountable to Him. And the Word of God, His law, I have two blanks there if you're looking, following along, shows our SOS. Law shows our sin. His law shows that we are sinners. And Jesus Christ was so powerful in understanding and teaching the law because, look, He said, you have heard it said, you shall not kill your brother. But I say to you, he who hates his brother, calls his brother a fool, shall suffer the fires of hell. The internal thoughts, Jesus said. So it's not only the murderer, but you who have hated your brother as well. We've all broken that, and God's law shows us this very clearly. And God's gospel shows our Savior. Shows our Savior. Shows Jesus Christ, shows what God did so that we might not stand guilty before him. And God did not want humanity, and he does not want, present tense, he does not want humanity to remain apart from him, forgiven. My wife and I were talking about the passage from Luke, was it? The road to destruction. Jesus said, well, I'll have to look at it now, I'm thinking about it. The road to destruction is wide, Jesus said. And it's the easy road. Now, when we think about the road to destruction that Jesus warned about, that is a destruction not only in the end to hell, yes, it's true, but it's destruction along the way. And that's what we're seeing, isn't it? We're seeing destruction along the way in so many people's lives. God would have the world to know Christ. To have the world made new and recreated. And we need to pray for the world, pray for our leaders, and pray for our military, and pray for peace and less suffering. But as we pray for them outside of us, we pray for ourselves so that I may truly know my sin and confess it, and that I may truly know my Savior and know that he has totally, completely forgiven me by his death, and that he has defeated death by his resurrection, and that's for me. With that true, powerful knowledge of the gospel, we can share it and give hope to other people. Point people to Jesus. And Jesus says, now, abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples. That means remain, stick, cling to my word. And then I also have a quote from Revelation 14, the last two verses. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. This is what God calls us to abide in his word and to endure, to cling. The endurance that God calls us is to endure in his word in faith in Christ and obedience to his law through whatever we have to go through, whether that is suffering or illness or injustice or war, or whatever we're called to go through, to endure in the faith. Patient suffering. Why? For we know Jesus Christ has died and risen for me, that my main duty is to be a witness to him and to love my neighbor as best as I can and take care of my family and be a light shining to Christ that people would see him and to endure all things for that. To keep that active focus in our minds and hearts is the reformation of the church. To stay in his word is the reformation of the church, to keep being formed by God, by the Holy Spirit, to be his people. I very specifically added these couple of verses at the end of the Revelation reading, because for Reformation Sunday, it's not that whole reading, it's just a couple of the verses. But I added it here because you see the link between reformation of the church, abiding in God's word, enduring with patient suffering, to the end of this life. And next week is All Saints. And we remember those who have gone before us enduring in the faith, and they are with Christ. These two things are connected. Keeping the church in line, on track, in God's word, going through whatever it takes, and then finally, resting in the faith with the saints and God in heaven. Luther was not perfect. He wrote some very harsh things, which even the Missouri Synod has said, those writings, we don't hold to those writings. In the 1990s in convention, there are certain writings we said, those writings we distance ourselves from. But he pointed to Christ. And he pointed his people, those who would understand his teachings and take it, to rely on Christ. Because as we look around the world, is it better? It's not. It's just as bad. All the more, we need Christ. And we need his word, not changed and not watered down, but we need his word to abide in Christ's word to be his disciples. If we do that, we remain his disciples. And come hell or high water, which they will, and Jesus said they will, we yet will get through this life into eternal life. And we pray for this world, and we pray for our friends and neighbors, that somehow Christ will be known and trusted. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending through many teachers your reforming word, your word that shapes us, corrects us, rebukes us, and saves us, and forgives us. Help us to be faithful to your word in our own lives, and to be witnesses and people of love to one another and to the whole world, to shine forth your love, which you have given us in Christ. Help us face the chaos and the violence that surrounds all things, but to trust in you and your Son, Jesus. And give us your Holy Spirit, that we may be your people, empowered by you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.